Well, we're going to have a prayer for the children before they go back to school. So let's just bow our heads together and be mindful of those children that are here today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a safe and fun summer, a break from the rigors of study. And we would ask that you be with the children and their families as they prepare to return back to school for a new year. Oh God, we pray that you would help them to go back with renewed energy and excitement, to learn new things, to make new friends, and have new memories. We pray that you be with our teachers and staff and all of the administrators of the school district, that you watch over them and help them to make wise decisions. Keep our school safe and help us to be involved where we need to be, Lord, in the school system. Thank you for these children, Lord. They're a gift to us from you, and help us to be good parents and grandparents and support them in their educational processes in this new year. For we dedicate it to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And now, children, you are dismissed. Have a great school year. And this Wednesday, our Ministerial Alliance will be serving breakfast to teachers and administrators and staff. Each year, we've done this for many, many years, and so we'll be doing that again this year, and I'm looking forward to that. It's always nice, and they allow us, I guess, or give us the opportunity, I'd rather say, to pray in the school for the school year, and so we'll be offering prayer there in the high school this Wednesday morning, too. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, you can follow along. Open it up to the book of James, chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 12 all together. But then throughout the message, I'm going to reread portions of that scripture so that we can kind of keep that in front of us and fresh in our minds. Okay, so this is the book of James. We continue in the book of James, chapter 3, Taming the Tongue. Now many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he or she says, they are perfect, able to keep the whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses and make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a word of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his or her life on fire, and itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My sisters and brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. May God add blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Words carry immense power. Words are important. Last week we gathered and we talked about faith. We spoke about faith in action, looking at the fact that without deeds, our faith is dead. but also making very clear that is not those deeds that is our salvation. Rather, that is Jesus Christ. This week, we take a look back in the book of James, chapter 3 this time, and we take a look at the tongue and the importance of taming the tongue. Taming the tongue is something that we all need to work on. For with the tongue, we can build one another up, and we can quickly tear someone down. That is the power of this little muscle in our mouths. It can take us up. It can bring us down. So we must understand that we must control our speech. And I want to be very clear this morning that when I speak about our speech, I'm not only speaking about the words that we utter, I'm also speaking about the words that we type, the words that we post, the words that we put all in all different places, not only the things that we speak, because we will learn throughout this message today that what we speak comes from the heart, and it says exactly who we are, for what is in the heart comes out of the mouth. I want to tell you a story this morning about a pastor who was trying to teach his congregation about this very fact. He gave each person in his congregation a feather, and he took them out upon a hill on a very windy day, and he said, I want you to release the feathers. And so on the cue, all of the feathers were released, and they blew in every which direction. Then the pastor said to his congregation, he said, now I want you to go, and I want you to pick up the feather that you put into the wind. Of course, we know that was impossible. Once that feather was released into the strong winds on top of that hill that day, it blew to all different places. No one could ever find their feather again. You see, our words are just like that feather. Once we speak them, whether they're positive or whether they're negative, it's just like that feather. It can go out and we'll never ever be able to retract it again. We'll never be able to take back those words again once they are spoken, whether they are positive or whether they are negative. We must think about that imagery as we think about our speech. Our words have the power to bless someone, and our words have the ability to tear someone down. And when we use those words to build others up, that can last a lifetime. And when we use those words to tear someone down, whether we do it in our speech or we post it on the internet somewhere, we can tear someone down, and guess what? Neither one of them are ever forgotten. And once they're out there, you can't bring them back. This is an important message for our world today. It's an important message for those who call ourselves Christians and Christ followers. Listen again to the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. It was my secretary of 10 years here at the church, Ruth Blackburn, who reminded me of this continuously. I'm going to be judged more harshly because I teach the Word of God. It carries a great responsibility. Those of you who teach Sunday school, you're teaching the Word of God. It carries a great responsibility because you teach. You're sharing the Word of God, and because you're doing it, you should do so responsibly. You should prepare well. You should teach well. Because you're going to be judged for how you present that word. He continues on in verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he or she says, he or she is a perfect person, able to keep the whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses and make them obey, we can turn the whole animal. Or we can take ships, for an example, although they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person and sets the whole course of his or her life on fire, and is in itself is set on fire by hell. The tongue has tremendous influence. The power of words, the strength of our words. Words are important. They are significant. They can carry tremendous influence. Just like the metaphors that are in Scripture, and Liz knows this from her horse training and teaching that she does. You put a bit in a horse's mouth, and you can steer the entire animal most of the time, if you know what you're doing. But that bit isn't very big, right? It's about like that big, right? And it steers the entire animal. Those animals are massive. Think about that. And then think about of a ship, a rudder of a ship. Compared to the ship, it's tiny. Compared to the ship, the rudder is tiny, but is able to turn that great big ship. Think about a fire. Just a small spark in a campfire can ignite vast forest fires. The tongue is just like that. We can use it for good. We can steer animals. We can steer boats. Or we can take that spark and we can misuse it, and an entire forest would be engulfed. And we see this constantly in our world today. People who might throw out a cigarette butt or leave a campfire unattended, and homes and people's lives are changed forever. Powerful words. Just one word, just a brief sentence can make a big difference. And those words that we say, they last forever. And we can never, ever take them back. No matter how many times we apologize, it's already out there. And we wish that we could take it back, but you can't. The tongue is also powerful, and it's far-reaching. It reaches into our everyday lives. And I can think of many times through the years that Patty has been an encouragement to me. I can think the many times of friends and mentors that have encouraged me. I can think of total strangers, like this morning when I drove through the drive-up to get my coffee at McDonald's. The cashier said, "May I say that you smell good? I like your cologne." That made me feel good. I'm glad she didn't say I stunk. And I thought that was really nice. She didn't know me. She wasn't saying anything inappropriate. She just said, "I think you smell nice." And I thought, well, that was pretty nice of her to say that to me this morning. That made me feel good. It made my day. It made me feel better about myself. Now think of the same thing. Someone who criticizes you. Someone who gossips about you behind your back. Someone who says something deeply hurtful about you. And think about how that impacts your day, how you carry those things along with you. I have seen and been part of churches in the past where one word or one sentence or one attitude can tear apart a whole congregation. It's sad to see that criticism and the sting of it and those tapes that we play over and over in our head. Just like we can take somebody saying a simple thing like, "I like your cologne," and feel good, or somebody saying something bad about us and making us feel terrible for the day. Those words can stick both positively and negatively for years and years and years. I know because it happens in my life. And I believe you know as well. When you're corrected by a parent or a grandparent or a teacher, or someone says something to you that's off about you, it hurts. And you take it to heart, and it's hard to shake it and let it go. The tongue has influence. It influences others. It helps to shape people It shapes our relationships. It shapes our communities. It shapes entire societies. So we must be extremely careful with what we say and what we post in the words that we use. Because those words that we use can build someone up, and they can reflect the love in everything that we do and reflect the love of Christ, but also those same words can rip you apart. And maybe you've had that done to you in the past. Harmful words. We need to take great responsibility for what we say and what we put out on social media, because those things come from our heart. And in the heart, that's truly who we are. So we want to reflect the love of Christ. We need to be careful about what we say and what we write. So I ask myself and I ask you this morning, what are you doing with your tongue? What are you doing with the things that you post and email and forward and put out there to your friends? Students, what are you going to say to your classmates this year in school? How are they going to know that you are a Christ follower? When that tongue is compared to a fire in verses 6 through 8, we can see there the great destruction that can be done by one little spark. One little spark can change a course of an entire region. Someone could lose a home, maybe even lose a life. But that same spark in the great little hymn that we sing, it only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around will be warmed by its glowing. You see, that spark can do good, and that spark can do bad. And so here we are as Christ followers here in this place this morning. We have a decision to make. How are we going to use that spark? And we also know that when you hurt someone, those scars don't easily go away. They hurt. In fact, James says that the tongue is like a deadly poison. Can you imagine? Just this little piece of flesh in our mouths can be used for great poison. It's interesting, and it highlights the spiritual danger that we all have if it goes unchecked. If we're not checking what we're saying, if we're not checking what we're doing, when the tongue is uncontrolled and we do not allow the Holy Spirit into our hearts and the Holy Spirit to control what it is that we're saying and sharing with other people, even within the body of Christ, it can be destructive. And that reflects the condition of our heart. We're also not only trying here to just avoid saying bad things, but realizing the fact that we choose to, with that same mouth, utter not only words of destruction, but then on Sunday morning we come here and we sing praises to God. Does that make sense to you? It doesn't to me. That with that same mouth that we come and sing praises to God and utter prayers to Him on others' behalf, and then we go out in the middle of the week and we share gossip and bad things and repost things that aren't true. What good is this doing? How is that reflecting God's love in your life? How is that showing other people that you follow Jesus Christ? No wonder people think we're hypocrites when we do things like that. We're not only trying to avoid hurtful words and saying hurtful things, but we need to be careful and intentional in our words and plan them and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us in those words. Because those same words, those good words, can bring healing to someone and build each other up and encourage each other. That's the power of the tongue. I want to tell you about a little boy and his father. This little boy had this terrible attitude, and he would speak harshly about all kinds of things. He would lose his temper constantly. He would say hurtful things to those within his family and to his friends and in the community. And his father decided, I'm going to teach him a lesson. They lived on a farm, and on the farm there was a fence. And the father one day came and he gave his son a bucket of nails and a hammer. And he said, every single time that you say something hurtful, I want you to go to that fence and I want you to nail a nail into that fence. And so the son agreed, and every time he said something hurtful or hateful, he would go and he would hammer the nail into the fence. That first week, he hammered 37 nails into the fence. His father was trying to teach him to see how he said so many hurtful things. And so every time that he said something hurtful, he had to continue that practice. But as he continued that practice, he got better and better, and he hammered fewer and fewer nails until one day he realized he was no longer saying anything hateful or hurtful. And so, proud of his efforts, he went to his father and he said to his father, hey, Dad, guess what? I haven't said anything hurtful for a while, and there I haven't had to hammer any nails into the fence. Dad said, son, that's a great thing. I'm so proud of you. Now I have another thing for you to do. I want you to go over to that fence, and I want you to start pulling out every nail that you hammered into the fence. And so the son agreed, and he went over, and he started pulling all the nails that he had hammered into that fence. And when he had finished, he went back to report to his father, I've pulled all the nails out of the fence. And his father then put his arm around him and he said, son, now I want you to look at that fence. Look at that fence and all the holes, all the scars that are there. They will never go away. That fence will never be the same. When we say words that are hateful and hurtful, they cause scars. Scars that last. Scars that never go away. Scars that require counseling. Scars that make us question who we are. They leave holes in our lives, lasting marks. Even when we apologize, even when we try to take them back and remove them, the hurt, the pain, the scars, they're still there. You see, our tongue has the potential to be destructive, even when we apologize. Now, in the concluding verses 9 through 12 of chapter 3, we read, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grape vine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You see the point of the illustrations within James. It's not proper that the same things come out of the mouth, both praise and hate. We Christians must be careful. Because those words can easily give people the ability to say, you're a hypocrite. And I don't want any part of what you're doing because you're spewing anger, you're spewing gossip, and you're spewing slander. Our speech is crucial. For that scripture reminds us that both fresh and salt water cannot come out of the same spring. There was a saying that I remembered from growing up. When someone would utter something bad or they would say a cuss word, someone might say to you, are you going to eat with that mouth too? Oh, or another one, you kiss your mama with that mouth? Maybe you have your favorite saying, but it's important for us to remember. Finally, our words do reveal our hearts. Matthew 12, 34. If you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. That's Jesus. That's Jesus saying that. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? See, it doesn't make sense, is what he's saying. For out of the overflow of the heart, your mouth speaks. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says that the tongue has the power of life and death. You and I have the ability to use our tongues to speak life and to speak truth into someone's life and heart. And yet many times we speak poison and we put it out there for everybody to see and hear. But you can't produce both. You can't produce both. That's what Jesus said. Now listen to Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. It is our great joy to be able to build one another up, not to tear one another down. Even in difficult situations, to build each other up, to encourage each other, to speak a healing word, to align our hearts and our words and the things that we post to be aligned with Christ. Because ultimately, isn't that who we want people to see in us? We're all to be like Christ, to become more like him. Earlier in our scripture in the book of James, it spoke about that very thing. Here's a person that is tearing down a man who is, or a woman, made in the image of God, and yet with the same breath trying to praise God. It doesn't make sense. It's time to get real here. We have to think about these things. So do we continue to encourage those people around us? Do we continue to build others up around us? Do we continue to love them in the name of Jesus? Or do we spend time tearing them down and saying things about them and the way they are behind their backs? That's not a Christian heart. It was Jesus who hung out with sinners. It was Jesus who hung out with the prostitute. It was Jesus, the Son of God, who did those things. Who are we to be any less? Do we encourage each other? Do we build each other up? Or do we tear each other down? My friends, our tongues can be used for good things, but they can be used for very bad things. The tongue can be used to bring healing. The tongue can be used to be encouraging. It can be used to bring hope. And most importantly, the tongue can be used to reflect the love and the grace and the mercy of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be pleasing to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, acknowledging the power of our words. Your word reminds us that our speech can bring life or cause harm. And we confess the times we've spoken carelessly or in anger. Forgive us, Lord. And help us to reflect your love in everything that we say and do and write. May your Holy Spirit guide us to speak with consistency, choosing words that bless and build up others. Give us hearts full of grace and wisdom, so our speech always points to you. Help us to be mindful of our words, using them to bring healing, hope, and encouragement. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I hope that you'll take some time to further reflect.